I'm going to read to begin with. It's a good thing to do, isn't it? Turn to the Bible. From Ephesians chapter 6. It's a passage that you know. It's usually referred to as the armour of God. It's something that's regularly preached on, but I find there's a lot of aspects of this that is quite commonly misunderstood. So today it's just sort of like a little bit of an introduction to the passage. Ephesians 6 from verse 11. Put on the full armour of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the full armour of God, so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground. And after you have done everything, to stand. Stand firm then, with the belt of truth buckled around your waist, with the breastplate of righteousness in place, and with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. In addition to all this, take up the shield of faith, with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. And pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the saints. That last verse is always interesting to me. When I was first in Bible college, we had a little sticker on the car. It says, be alert. The world needs more alerts. How many of us are alert? How many of us are wearing the armour? That's really the passage. So, Father, we pray that you'd speak to us by your Spirit this day. I know that these will be words that I am actually speaking, but I pray that you would superintend that, and that, Lord, if necessary, you'll go above and beyond that to individuals, that every one of us can hear something from your Spirit this day, that we might be changed, that we might be further equipped to serve you. We give you thanks in anticipation, because you are the one who is always faithful. We give you thanks in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, as I said, a lot of people misunderstand this. Now, you may not, so please forgive me if I'm making an assumption. But a lot of people have this picture of someone, you know, Mr. Christian, wearing armour, charging the battle, waving this big sword around the place, frightened of the daylights out of everybody. And not just the enemy, but his friends who are beside him as well. That's not the picture that Paul has in mind. Paul doesn't picture a knight in shining armour. He's picturing a Roman soldier. And Roman soldiers never charged racing in the battle, ever. So we need to get the right picture in mind. So this is the Roman heavy infantry. He wears a lot of armour. Now maybe one time we'll get a chance to talk about shields, but just at this moment, let me just say to you, and I can't put it in kilos, sorry, I'm too old for that, I think about pounds. Can you forgive me? The shield weighs about 30 pounds. He's wearing a lot of armour. He doesn't jump up and down on the spot. He moves very seriously and sedately into battle. That's the first thing. He marches with purpose. So we don't have to be the great heroes of our dreams charging on a white horse into battle. We just walk. Did you notice how many times in that passage it says, take your stand? Stand then. The emphasis is on standing. Not charging anywhere. We okay? Here's the second thing. His shield is shaped. And I've got a picture for you here. His shield is shaped to hook together with other soldiers to create what was called a shield wall. So none of us charge into battle on our own. That's important. And maybe one day we'll have a chance to think a bit more about that. Third thing, if you can imagine What have we got there? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 across. So there's 18 soldiers there. Can you imagine 1,000? Well, can you imagine 6,000? That is 1,000 across and 6 rows deep coming toward you. That's a legion. Pretty impressive, isn't it? 1,000 body-sized shields would give about 700 yards. Sorry, 700 metres. I'm getting the right measures now. Wide. The first rank comes up to the enemy and places their shields against the enemy's shield. Got the picture? No charge. The second rank comes up and puts their shields in the back of the first row. The third rank put their shields in the back of the second rank. Got the picture? So you've got 6 ranks, shields in the back and the guys in the front pushing against the enemy. That's why it says take your stand. And what would they do then? They'd push. That's all they do, just push. That's the essence of the battle. Oh, they'll use their short swords, certainly. There'll be javelins being thrown from the back ranks, but the key to the battle is pushing. And they're going to put their feet into the ground with a good grip. They're going to have spiked shoes. Remember, that's the preparation of the gospel of peace. So they're going to be pushed back. They've got their feet fixed so they can stand their ground. So they're going to push. Now, in that scenario, if I can just pretend I've got a shield and it's about there to just above my feet, what am I going to do with my sword? I'm not going to slash like this, am I? I'm going to come down like this. That's why this other guy's going to wear a helmet and a breastplate. And I'm going to go like this. That's why he's going to wear shoes of the preparation of the gospel of peace, which isn't just something on his feet, but goes up here. In Europe, they used to call them greaves. Got the picture? Now, the point is to break the cohesiveness of the wall. If one man falls, there's a spot in which the enemy can push through. Do you remember the psalm that says, though 1,000 may fall at my side and 10,000 at my right hand? Remember that? That's what it's all about. If a guy is pushed down next to you, you are exposed to danger. Okay, that's the picture I want you to get. Now, that's not what I want to talk about so much. That's just sort of introduction. That's a freebie, if you like. So we're in a battle. And believe it or not, we're in the front lines. Because there are no rear lines in this spiritual battle. We're all in the front lines. We're all involved. It's not a case of saying, well, you go and fight, Pastor, and I'll stay behind and pray for you. No, no, because every one of us is involved. Every living soul is a combatant. And our struggle isn't against flesh and blood. Wouldn't it be lovely if it was? Have you ever been like me where you really wish the devil would stand in front of you in flesh so you could punch him in the nose? Anyone ever had that feel? Good, is it? I think we're the only two, so we must be a bit strange. But he's not like that. It's not flesh and blood. And when someone is offensive or creates problems for you, you've got to look beyond the person to see the motivating force behind that. So our battle is not against flesh and blood, it's against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Now, because it's not physical, it makes it difficult for us. There are two dangers that we face. The first is willful ignorance. If you don't know who the enemy is, how can you defend yourself? How can you be prepared? So that's the first thing. Willful ignorance will breed fear. We need to know. Now, it doesn't mean we've got to go around all the time seeing a demon behind every bush. the state superintendent of the AOG in New South Wales many years ago was a good friend of mine. And I was talking to him one day. I said, tell me, what do you think about demon spirits? He said, I don't think much about them at all. He said, it's not demon spirits that bother me. It's those human spirits. They're the really tough ones. So what about demons, though? He said, well, it's really simple. I ignore them. I totally ignore them. But if one gets in the way, I jump on him. That's not a fear, is it? But neither is it seeing something all the time. So that's the second danger that we face, where we have, I've put down here, a morbid fascination. We don't want that either, because that leads to error. So finally, verse 10, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armour of God. First of all, it's God's armour, not ours. Isn't that neat? Yeah. Because if I had to make a suit of armour, we would be here a very long time. It's his armour that he gives to us. We had to put it on, though. But it also begins, before we even think about armour, with be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. You don't have to be stronger than the enemy that comes against you. You just have to be strong in the Lord. Because whose battle is it? It's his battle. He's on our side. Okay, quick little story. When I was about 17, I lived in Queensland at the time, so therefore the sport that I played was rugby league. Yeah? So I was playing this game of rugby league. And this is before they made certain law changes. But I was running with the ball, and three opponent players caught me. But instead of tackling me to the ground so I could play the ball back, if you've ever seen it on television, they picked me up, put me upside down, and were about to drive me into the ground. It's called a spear tackle. You try that even close to that now, and you're off the field. That's it. But error was upside down, thinking, why am I doing this? Why am I playing this stupid game? This could be the end of my life. I could be a paraplegic from this moment at the very least. Why am I doing this? And I was thinking, this is the end of that. And then I heard a voice from behind me. It happened to be my best friend. His name was Russell. Now, Russell was about that. You know what I'm talking about? One of those big guys. He was a big player. And I heard his voice. I couldn't see him because upside down facing the wrong direction, but I heard his voice. And he just said, and I'll try as close as I can get to it. Put him down. Gently. And these guys put me up the right way, put me on the ground on my feet, and backed off. I was so grateful to Russell. I was involved in a battle, but he's the one who fought it for me. See, to me, that's just a little way of illustrating what the Lord does. He's there with us. And the devil comes along, he wants us to be frightened or overwhelmed by his presence. But crying out loud. I'm not saying he's not powerful. The devil is powerful. But he's only an angel. The one who created him is so much more powerful. And he's on whose side? Our side. So let's keep it balanced, if you like. So be aware. Our enemy is active. So someone said to us once, ignorance is no defense under law. Well, you know, if you walk across the road without looking, get hit by a car, you can't say, I didn't see you. It's not going to help you. Ignorance doesn't help. So we need to know about this battle that we're involved in. Our struggle against rulers and so forth. Now, when you read that, our struggle is against, the word itself literally means our wrestle. So it's not a case of standing back and it's a debating contest to see who can argue the best. But we're wrestling here. Now, Thayer in his commentary says this. Wrestling is a contest between two in which each endeavours to throw the other. and which is decided when the victor is able to press and hold down his prostrate antagonist. Yeah? And at one point in Greek history, the penalty, well, see, if you won the wrestling contest, you get a laurel wreath around your head. Yeah? If you lost it, you had an eye gouged out. So it's serious stuff. My only comment to that is, who'd want to be an athlete? It's so serious a struggle that we're encouraged to be armoured. So I've got another picture here for you. Isn't that neat? Oh, this, by the way, is a fairly modern picture. This is a group of reenactors who make their own armour. It's real stuff. They come from New Zealand. And I'm trying to remember, but I think they call themselves the 23rd Legion, but I could be completely wrong. Okay. The armour of the Roman heavy infantry. They sustained the fiercest assaults. Oh, wow. What are the battles that we face? Well, let me give you a clue. The enemy has certain tactics. They're described in Galatians 5 as the deeds of the flesh. Do you remember what they are? Let me read them to you. The acts of the sinful nature are obvious. Sexual immorality, impurity and debauchery, idolatry and witchcraft, hatred. See, the first ones you can say, well, I've never done any of those things. Hatred. Oh, okay. Discord. Jealousy. Fits of rage. Selfish ambition. Dissensions. Well, that's the second time that's sort of hinted at disunity, doesn't it? Factions and envy. Drunkenness, orgies and the like. So we're back onto more comfortable territory. I don't know about you, I've never been involved in an orgy. I wouldn't know one if I fell over it. Although I did get my wife's reaction once. I came home from a video shop. She said, what did you get? I said, oh, I got a movie. I thought you might like this. It's called, what do you call it? The Pagan Orgy. She said, you what? No, I was kidding. I really wanted to find a printer so I could print that cover and put it on there and make it really... Anyway, it's naughty. These are the battles we face. How's they come to us? Now, I think I'm fairly safe in saying that you're safe from being involved in orgies and debauchery. But envy? Jealousy? Division? Some of them are pretty close to home, aren't they? This is just a normal part of life. This is the battle that we're involved in. So we've got to be prepared for this. We've got to be aware of it. Got to know about it and then be prepared. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. That's the third time I've read that. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. Let's think about that a bit. Be strong in the Lord. Strong, strength. Anyone remember what the word is? It's the Greek word endemo. And it has the concept of power. And we get it. If you ride a push bike, it comes from dynamo. It's a self-generating power that is not ours. So be strong in the Lord. We're to be powerful in the one who is almighty. What do we just sing? Unchangeable? Unstoppable. Isn't that fantastic? We are walking through life with one who can best be described as the unstoppable force. And if we come under attack, he becomes the immovable object. And I don't know about you, but when I'm standing with the Rock of Ages and there's a flood of enemy coming at me, I know where I'm going to be. And it's not standing in front of the rock to protect it. I'm going to be behind the rock. Lord, over to you, mate. You're in control. That's the best position to be in. So be strong in the Lord. The power we need only comes from a relationship with him. James says, resist the devil and he'll flee from you. Remember that? What does it say before that, though? Same verse. This one's often misunderstood or forgotten. It says, submit, therefore, to God. Resist the devil and he'll flee from you. He's not fleeing from us because we're so all-powerful or so incredibly beautiful or so terribly, frighteningly ugly. He flees from us because we have been submitted to Jesus. Now, I've had opportunity to say to someone who is demonized, who said to me, I've got more power than you have. They're absolutely true. This is someone who put his fist through a wall. I've got more power than you. Yes, you are, but I'm not the one telling you to go. Jesus is. Argue with him. And he left. Can you see what I'm saying? He has promised to empower us for the battle as we walk in that relationship. Luke 10:19, I've given you authority to trample on snakes and scorpions and to overcome all the power of the enemy. Nothing will harm you. However, do not rejoice that the spirits submit to you, but rejoice that your names are written in heaven. In Luke 24:49, I'm going to send you what my Father's promised, but stay in the city until you've been clothed with power from on high. Acts 1:8, you'll receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you'll be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. Be strong in the Lord. Be strong in his mighty power. Why on earth will we try to wage this battle in our strength? Because we're going to lose. On the other hand, if we wrestle in his might, we're going to win. It's simple as that, isn't it? Yeah? Before I got saved, I used to do weird things. I've told you this before, so you might remember. I used to go to a particular street on an island in the Barrier Reef. It was called Mango Avenue. You could imagine why. Because I'd heard that there was a headless ghost that lived in one of the trees. And I was there to have a chat. This was before I got saved. Yeah. So after I became a Christian, weird sort of things would regularly happen around me. But you know, we are victorious. Let me ask you this. Your job is to lock up all the external doors in a live-in Bible college late at night. All the lights are out. It's dark. No one lives in these halls. It's quiet. And you go down and you get a bit nervous. What would you do? Sing. Exactly. And that's what I did. You sing to the Lord because you're reminding yourself. You're not telling the devil. He knows already. You're reminding yourself, the Lord is with me. And you know how many weird, frightening, terrible things happened to me when I was doing that? None. So, well, it could be because there's nothing to frighten me there, but it could just be that I'm walking in the Lord. And I got this little thing going on in my head. Lord, if you turn left, I'm turning left. If you stop, I'm stopping. When you go, I go. Wherever you go, I'm going to be your shadow. Because that's the place of safety. Russell, tell him to put me down. Yeah? Lord, protect me. To me, that's the key. As we hold on to him. Now, I'm the vine, he said. You are the branches. If a man remains in me and I in him, he will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. We're branches in that tree. All right. Having said all that, we do have to wrestle. We can't just stand back and say, well, the Lord's going to take care of everything. Sometimes we have to act in some fashion. We might have to speak out in a situation, say, look, I disagree with that. That's a wrong thing to do. Stop bullying that person. You know, that sort of situation. But it's still his power. So put on the full armour of God. Three observations I want to make about that statement. One, it's God's armour, just like it's his strength and it's his power. Put on has the sense of clothing yourself. That's true. Can you picture that? But also hiding inside it. Hiding in the armour. Anyone have Netflix? Yeah, a few? On Netflix, there's a one-hour documentary. It's called The Secrets of the Shining Knight. And it's a bunch of guys who set out to make armour as medieval knights used to wear. Do you believe when they made it correctly, it was actually bulletproof? And looked beautiful too. Oh, I'm not just wearing this stuff. I am hiding inside it. I am secure in this armour. And therefore, not only have I put it on, but what I am not going to ever do is take it off. It's going to stay on me. Where to put on the full armour? You either wear all of it or don't bother wearing any of it. You know, enemies, it might be evil. He might have lost and not know it. But he's not a complete moron. The devil knows that if you've got a weak point, he can identify and attack the weak point. You with me? So you put on all the armour. This helmet's too heavy. Have you ever tried to wear a helmet? Anyone ever worn a military helmet? It's not the most comfortable thing in the world to wear. So you leave it off. I don't want to wear this. What are you going to attack if you're the enemy? You know, it just makes sense. Oh, this breastplate is too heavy. I don't want to wear it anymore. I think I'll take it off. At your own risk. Put it on and put it all on. And it talks about the belt of truth. Can you see the belt of truth? You think, well, I don't know, where's the belt there? Well, you see that little shiny thing hanging down in the front of their loins? That's a part of the belt. Why would you wear that? It's not just to keep the armour in place, it's to protect you. You're going to wear the breastplate. I've heard people say, well, the breastplate's only on the front, there's nothing on the back, so don't turn your back on the enemy. Well, okay, that's fine. No argument with the concept. But the point is, it's going to protect your chest. Now, I don't know about you, but I've got a couple of things inside the chest that I would like to keep functioning. The heart, for example. Right? I'm going to wear a helmet because the head seems rather important to me. I'm going to wear greaves and boots because you can't walk far with a broken leg. So you're going to put on the whole armour. I'm going to go in battle. Oh, plop, forgot the sword. Well, okay. That might be all she wrote as far as you're concerned. The full armour. There's no allowance anywhere for removing it. Now, we all know that the Roman Empire fell. And there's a number of reasons for the fall of that empire. Toward the end, the vast majority of Roman soldiers weren't Romans. They were from the conquered peoples. And you're not necessarily going to fight so hard for the ones who conquered you. But the biggest problem they had was simply this. The soldiers got lazy. And what they did, this is the historian Gibbon. He says, the relaxation of discipline and the disuse of exercise rendered soldiers less willing and less able to support the fatigue of the service. They complained of the weight of their armour and obtained permission to lay aside their breastplates, their cuirasses and helmets, because it's too uncomfortable. But then the battle comes and they're not used to carrying it. And they fail. At the height of the Roman Empire, you could tell a retired soldier, a veteran, because he had a callus ring around his left arm, about there. That's where it went through the strap on the shield. And you could pick him out because he carried that everywhere. We've got to wear the armour all the time, constantly prepared, alert. And third thing, so be aware, be prepared, and constantly, confidently stand. I want to say this too. There was a tradition in the time during the Roman Empire. The only good soldiers were those who counted themselves dead when they joined. So they weren't fighting to survive, they were fighting to win. Can you see the difference there? We ought to consider ourselves, you know, think, yeah, I've heard this in the scripture, dead in Christ. We have put to death the old man and put on the new man. So we belong to him. We serve him. Oh. Now, how long do they serve? I was a national serviceman. You didn't have to serve very long, you know. These guys would serve about 40 years. That's it. Almost their entire adult life, they were in uniform. And when they did finally retire because they're too old to stand in the line of battle anymore, what did the empire do to or for them? It'd give them some land so they could farm. That sounds good, doesn't it? It's an age pension. What they didn't tell them in advance necessarily was that the land they would give them was on the borders of the empire. And they put them there so that when the enemies came across the border to attack, they had trained soldiers ready. So, yes, you can retire now. Don't put your sword away, though. They served their whole life. How long as Christians do we serve in God's army? Well, the whole of this life and the one to come. We are there permanently. Okay, verses 13 and 14. I'm getting toward the end. Put on the full armor of God so when the day of evil comes, you notice that when the day of evil comes, not if, you may be able to stand your ground. And after you've done everything to stand firm, therefore. We have to stand our ground. We don't have to go and attack and take territory. We just have to stand there. Got the picture? Now, here's the beautiful thing. Let's say this is the enemy's territory. Not you, of course, but here. And I want to take it. What this is saying is, it's real easy. One step. I'm here. This is now my territory. Well, in fact, my king's territory. If I want to advance any further, what have I got to do? That's it. And as long as I stand, this is mine. And in our lives, there are times where we just have to take a stand. No, I won't do that. I won't say that. I'll deal with that thought. Now, you know, if you never have bad thoughts come into your head, I want you to later on come and see me because I want your autograph. It's normal at some times, you know, someone cuts you off in traffic. And, of course, you automatically look and say, the Lord bless you. And you don't. You might say something, but it won't be that. We have these things, but we're not going to allow it to stay. We're going to get rid of it. Someone said once that thoughts are like birds. You can't stop them flying around your head, but you can stop them nesting in your hair. So they're going to come and go, we're going to take our stand. No, I'm not going to put up with that anymore. No, go away. Or, no, I'm not going to join in with what everyone else is doing because it's wrong. Right? You don't have to fight them. You just take a stand, right? Okay, so stand the ground. Let me give you some examples of this. You remember the story of the 300 Spartans at the pass of Thermopylae? All they had to do was stand their ground. Now, ultimately they were defeated because they were betrayed by one of their own. Not one of the 300, but an ally, so-called. They stood there in that pass. Do you remember who they defeated? all sorts of troops coming out of Persia, and including a special unit called the Invincibles. Well, they proved the Invincibles were not. 300 held off an army of a little over a million. Masada in Israel, the Jews of Masada. Remember the story? They were revolting against the Romans. They went to this hilltop fortress, very steep sides. The Romans just couldn't take it. So what they did is they built a range of hills to get up to them. They took months. And when they got there, all the Jews had committed suicide. And what they were saying is, you might outnumber us and you might overwhelm us, but you've still not conquered us. And now, still, every new recruit to the Israeli army goes to Masada to take their vow of allegiance. Okay, one more. The rats of Tobruk. Middle East, World War II, and just held their ground, and they held back a host that was so much larger. They just refused to go. And the enemy at the time laughingly called them rats because they lived in holes in the ground. And the Aussies were there, took that name and thought, that's a good name, I like that. And have been known as the Rats of Tobruk ever since. You could use any number of illustrations. If you talk about a people who decide we're going to do what's right, even if it kills us. If you know your Japanese history, the 47 Ronin. There's stories like this. Almost in every culture, we are to be those who take our stand. If we stand firm before the enemy, the Lord has already provided the victory. Colossians 2:15, having disarmed the powers and authorities, he made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them by the cross. In 1 Peter 5:9 and 10, I quoted this earlier, resist him, standing firm in the faith, because you know that your brothers throughout the world are undergoing the same kind of suffering. And the God of all grace, who called you to his eternal glory in Christ, after you've suffered a little while, will himself restore you and make you strong, firm, and steadfast. James 4:7, submit yourselves then to God, resist the devil, and he'll flee from you. And the only task that we have to do is put on the armor. Because remember this, I talked about being in relationship with him. Wearing the armor means being in relationship with him. Because we're wearing a breastplate, which is described as the breastplate of what? Righteousness. Now, how many know that we are never righteous in our own rights? Our righteousness is imputed to us through Jesus. So if it's a breastplate of righteousness, it's his. We're wearing a helmet of salvation. Who provides the salvation? We've got a sword. It's the sword of the Spirit, the Word of God. We've got a shield. It's the shield of what? Faith. We've got a belt of truth. And Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And we're wearing, let's call them boots. The gospel is the preparation that comes from the gospel of peace. We stand our ground because the gospel of peace is living within us. But we're living within it, whichever way you'd like to put it. You got the picture? He's with us. And he will do what we can't do. And let me finish with 1 John 4:4. You, dear children, are from God and have overcome them. Because the one who is in you is greater than the one who is in the world. Now, I have always seen my relationship with the Lord in terms of a soldier. So, altar calls, you might be someone who kneels when God's talking to you. Some lie flat on the ground or lie prostrate. Others might stand with their hands in the air. When God is talking to me, I stand at attention. I'm awaiting orders. That's just the picture that I use. Okay? So I often see myself as God's soldier. And so Phil Driscoll's song, which you can find on the internet, by the way, Soldier, is really important to me. And it's addressed, soldier standing on the battlefield. It's the end of the day. He's been fighting all day. His armour is dirty. It's dinted because he's borne the strength of the battle. And the song says, yes, soldier, you are a mighty soldier. But just remember, you're still my child. That's the key. So I could stand at attention to get orders. That's fine. But if I see myself as being independent, strong in my own right, I've missed the point entirely. I'm here to receive orders. But I'm receiving orders because this is the boss we're talking about now. This is my commanding officer. This is my king. In fact, he's the King of Kings and he's the Lord of Lords. And I just obey him. And as long as I do, I am wearing his armor, and I become invincible in him. I'm going to leave it there. Maybe another time we'll talk about the bits of the armor. But remember, this is you. They're standing around, fully dressed, alert. Well, they're chatting. But can you see the eyes? There are eyes looking in every direction in that unit. They're alert. They're prepared. They are ready. Amen. Father, we thank you that you have provided everything we need so that we can walk with you. We can rest in you. And we enjoy your victory. We thank you for that. And submit ourselves to you, therefore, in Jesus' name. Amen.